This is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. PopX is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm, Walt Disney Pictures, Marvel Entertainment, DC Comics, or any other mentioned franchise or brand. The opinions expressed are of each individual and solely do not reflect PopX Cast. Sit back, relax, put on your Ninja Turtle onesie, and warm up your chimichangas. This is PopX Cast. You are listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
PopX Cast.
Welcome to PopX Cast. Tonight, I will be your host. My name is Daniel Miller at Stay on Target 42. And up in the window here is my companion and co-host for tonight, Joseph.
Hello. How are you, man?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. I'm excited for tonight.
Tonight is fun, dude. Tonight is something very near and dear to my heart. Let me just tell you. And it just when you talk about retro gaming and vintage consoles, you're talking right up my alley. This is like my forte, and I'm so excited to get involved in this. And I'm, you know what? You're hosting tonight.
Oh, of course. I'm flying the ship. Look who's captain of the Millennium Falcon
where we,
now.
Where are we going, James T?
Well, it looks like we're going to go back in time.
Oh. So,
well, let's H.G. Wells this and hop in our time machine.
Oh, yes.
Take a little trip into the past on how video games got started.
The past, Daniel?
Oh, the past. Your time. When dinosaurs walked the earth.
What? Are you serious right now? No.
Not at all.
No.
So,
I have to say, though, I am a pretty old school gamer.
What? I mean, apparently we have a bit of a display tonight for you.
We do have a display, and I was looking over and doing some research, and I found out that the first home console ever be released, and tonight we're talking about everything video games. So for the next 55 minutes to an hour, you're going to be, by the time you get done with tonight's podcast, you're going to know everything you need to know about the history of video gaming and the 8th generation future consoles that are out now, and what to expect next.
Yeah, where are we going with this?
Where is the future of video gaming going? Great episode. We got some people coming in tonight. Hey, want to say hello to Miss Brittany Metz joining us right here on PopX. It's great. Good to have her here. But, so when you talk about retro 8-bit gaming, I had to go back to 1986. And the old Magnavox Odyssey system, because it actually does predate the Atari.
It does. It does. It was 1970.
It was, yeah, right in that neck of the woods. And that's when it came out. And it was, you got to think, man, the 70s, look at this thing, man. It looks like the top of a fish tank.
Yeah, this was was
seriously
72. And this was the Magnavox's Odyssey.
Oh, man. That thing is like so vintage and so old school. I don't even how do you even connect that thing to a television? Was it the old like prongs that you have to put on the back with the screws? That you remember those TVs?
More like a paperweight to me. I've never
like a paperweight. Oh man,
I had a TV at 11 that had the knobs on it.
I did too. A 13-channel TV,
the KLH. I remember it.
My God, dude!
11 years old for my birthday.
So awesome.
Mom had it on layaway. Remember that?
Layaway.
Right? That's an old-fashioned.
I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah, like Blockbuster.
My gosh.
That's an old-fashioned sense.
We got some amazing people in the room tonight. I want to thank everybody for listening and for joining us, first and foremost. This is going to be an awesome thing. When we dive into this, you're going to be mind blown. Panda's also in the room as well. And Panda will be on board with us a little later on in the show. But Dan, where do we start? Like, we've got the Magnavox Odyssey, and it looks like the video gaming console thing kind of was in transition. It went through multiple phases.
A rocky start, you know. So the first video game was created by some physicist. His name was, let me just pull it up from memory, because I'm terrible at memory when it comes to recall.
Terrible. Just terrible.
Terrible. Like
terrible. 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 Terrible at memory.
Yeah. So the man's name was Willie Higginbotham.
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 Higginbotham. Yes.
Excuse me.
It's okay.
Well, he was a physicist.
My first time, too.
First video game. Yeah?
Yeah. You know. I just like I think we just got Higginbotham.
We just got Higgined. So it was the table tennis game.
It was.
Maybe Pong?
Precursor to Pong?
It was a precursor to Pong.
Do you think Pong was a homage to Higginbotham?
I think it was, because it was played on this device that he's pulled up here, which is called an oscilloscope, I believe.
Oscilloscope, yep.
Yeah. And I mean, like, as far as I can tell, that looks like something that would be on a submarine.
I just want to see a red eye in the middle of that, and like, you hear HAL 9000 going, "My mind is going, Dave."
That would be a
Dave. This is HAL. I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that now. Anyway, I digress.
So, I mean, after we had the first video game created, we had a couple guys, Steve Russell. He created the first computer game, which was called Space Wars, I think it was.
Space Wars, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that was, nobody really knew about it. It was just something that he did. We come down a couple of years later. I mean, this was, this started in 1958. Let's just put that.
Yeah. Up. I mean, the video game, look at this timeline. This is really cool. That's a great graphic.
It is. It is.
So it does. It shows the teardown of all the way up to what we consider as kind of the staple. But, you know, I don't really consider the Atari 2600 technically the staple.
Right.
There's one before it.
There was. And that was the Magnavox.
It was the Magnavox, but yeah, there's one before it as well. The Commodore 64.
Really?
Yes.
Commodore 64?
Commodore 64 preceded the Atari 2600. Oh. There it is. Look at that thing.
Oh, wow.
If that doesn't scream 80s.
I mean, do you even consider that a video game console? That just looks like a computer.
Well, that's what it was. It was kind of like a, long before Windows, long before DOS, it was a line-based computer programming machine. You could actually do WordPress on it, like typing up. You could also do like spreadsheets, like old school, like 8-bit dot matrix spreadsheets. Crazy. If you notice, over on the side, there's a floppy drive.
Yeah, I see.
And when I say floppy drive, I'm not talking like the little plastic ones. I'm talking about the big plastic, metallic, you know, those magnetic floppy drives. So those things were crazy cool.
And for anybody who can't see this and is listening to this via audio iTunes, what I'm looking at here is just
explain it.
Plastic. that it looks like an old computer that should be in a toddler's room.
Wow.
For all of you millennials listening in.
It is quite glorious. And just to throw a tidbit out there for some of the people that's listening that are Commodore 64 fans, Commodore 64 actually is now back in production due to popular demand from the fan base. And they are making these, I don't want to say supercomputers, but computers that compete and compare with today's processing power computers. So you can actually search the internet. You can do all kinds of fun stuff on it. And it's under the Commodore brand.
Even before your 2600, we also got the Telestar. From
It wasn't that Mattel?
It was actually Coleco.
Coleco, yeah.
Coleco releases its first video game console, and it was called the Telestar, and that was in 1976.
Now, where in that time frame? I'm like Atari 2600.
A year later.
And television, right?
What's that?
When do we get in television? Was it 1970?
1977, Atari introduced the first cartridge-based.
Okay.
And that is your precious Atari 2600.
Look at these guys.
What is that, an 8-track? What is that thing?
8-track. A-track, my bud, dude. Look at these babies, man. These are the old Atari 2600 games.
I see them.
Look at that. Pac-Man. Oh, now, I just pulled three randomly out of my drawer. Asteroids.
You pulled classics.
I mean, I have others like Yara's Revenge and...
maybe masterpieces, if you will.
Oh, my God. Look at that. Telegames. Space Invaders.
Holy moly.
Now, all right, so we also want to mention, too, Intellivision, because Intellivision was released by Mattel around the same time the Atari 2600 came out to try to compete with it. So it was Mattel's company to try to, you know, they were trying to compete and do all that stuff.
1980, that's when the Intellivision.
All right, so look at that.
Supposed to be $100 at that point.
How much was it?
$300 in 1980.
That's a lot of money.
Money, yeah.
For 1980?
Yeah, this is 1980. The Atari 2600 came out in 77. Okay. It was put alone for like 3 years, and then boom. The television came out, and it was its first real competitor.
Here you go.
And look at that thing.
Yeah, I actually restored it to its original state. I took all the boards, the chips apart. I used a debronzer on the connectors and fired it up. But look at that, man.
Yeah, I refurbished my NES.
Yeah. It looks good. So this is number one. This is the start of tonight. It's actually pretty light. You would think this thing is as bulky as it looks. It would be heavy, but it's really light. I mean, you got to think, this is pretty old school technology in here. What'd you say, 78?
Yeah, that was actually 77 for the 26.
It says on the back here, for sale to Sears and Roebuck Company, 1978.
Oh, wow.
Patent pending.
You got a newer model. You got one that was made down the road. So we had the Intellivision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then Atari releases its 5200.
Yeah, the 5200, which is kind of the upgrade.
And that was to compete with the ColecoVision.
ColecoVision.
Now, I've actually never really seen a ColecoVision before. I've heard all about it, never seen one.
Well, it's just another clunky device that hooked up to your TV at the time. I mean, you got to think about it. That's all these consoles were just pieces of plastic that... Yeah, and the ROMs for these games were so small it's crazy. And this is basically the start of the home console video game franchise that we know today. So it's pretty amazing.
You know, I didn't know that Dragon's Lair was the first video game Laserdisc that was featured on Laserdisc Tech.
Laserdisc? Yeah, that's right. Wow.
Being a really awesome game, and I actually never knew that it was on Laserdisc.
I forgot that there was a period of games that they did make on Laserdisc.
And in 1983...
You're so smart.
I just know how to read.
You just read.
So, in actually 1983, that's when Nintendo introduced the Famicom in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they introduced the NES, baby.
Was that the Famicom system came before the NES in Japan, right?
Well, yeah,
it was a little red-looking console.
Oh, okay, so I read this wrong. I can't read. They introduced the Famicom in Japan, and then it was later known as the NES system.
Yeah. And in America, I think we have a picture of the Famicom, if I'm not mistaken, for people that...
Heard of Famicom. I didn't even know this was a thing.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Let me look and see just to double check here. But the Famicom Nintendo at the time was just, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it just like a simple pinball, low key, flash card kind of company?
And then all of a sudden they just started incorporating the digital media, and it was kind of a big hit for them, and it took off really big. And the next thing you know, we get, Oh, there it is. Look at that. Look at that's the Famicom.
That's the Famicom. All right. I have seen that before. I actually was at my game store, local game store. And
if you ever see one of these on eBay or at a local shop or at a garage sale, do yourself a favor and pick it up. Even if it doesn't work, you can still restore it.
Yeah. And it's,
and then that leads to this guy.
My first system, Joe. This was me. This is, I have a picture somewhere. I wish I had it for tonight. I couldn't get a hold of my mom. There's a picture of me opening that box and just the biggest smile on my face that I've ever had in my entire life. And it's holding that, and it came with Duck Hunt and Mario Brothers. Oh, yeah. Right, just hug it. You feel?
I love this system.
That's good nostalgia. That's not an illusion.
This system got me through some rough times as a kid, dude.
Look at you rocking back and forth. You're just gonna lull it to sleep, right?
I freaking love this system, dude.
Yeah, I know.
And then there's a secret compartment where you can like put change on the bottom.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah,
you can put change or like
you can put six packs of soda in here. Oh yeah, that was the best system.
And for everybody listening right now that's on iTunes or the audio format, do yourself a favor after you get done listening to the audio version and go over to YouTube and watch the video version, because you're going to love it, because a lot of these consoles that I'm showing on camera right now are from my personal collection as a child.
Yes, so he has got quite the collection as well. He sent me a spread. Oh wow, what is that?
It's Nintendo Power, dude.
Holy moly.
It's a strategy guide for Super Mario Brothers 3.
I haven't seen one in years.
Yeah, there it is. Look at the ad on the back of this.
Is that great?
That dude's hair is more gel than mine.
Spectacular.
I'm serious.
Oh my goodness. That is amazing, man.
Yeah. So
there's something else you were playing with that's actually next up on the list in 89.
Are we talking about the brick?
Could it be the old gray brick? We're not talking about Scrapple.
Oh, man.
We're talking about the Nintendo
game. The portable game system in your hand, the Game Boy. And, you know, a lot of people ask me when they come over and they see my collection. And it's my goal to put my collection into a display case. Like, we get one of those really cool IKEA cases that are all lit with the shelves. Everybody says, what, does it work?
Come on.
Watch.
Here we go.
In real time, baby. Oh, you know what? Just for the nostalgia.
Yeah. You know that's bad to do, right?
I know, but it's so right.
It's so bad. It's wrong. It's right.
Look at that. There it is. There's dark. Tetris. This is old school Tetris.
Or in the dark. You have to find the perfect lighting setting, unless you have one of those rich people. All the rich friends that I had the magnifying glass with the light that shone in it, that shined in it, right?
Yeah.
I never had that. I just had, and I always lost the back battery case. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Takes me back, man. I'm telling you. All right, you can change the music on this. Isn't that cool?
That is amazing.
Still works, dude. Still works.
That's great. My brother actually just picked up a Game Boy. It was a Game Boy Pocket, but he had to get it so he could play some Pokemon. He was feeling a little thirsty for Pokemon, and he's been playing.
And I have to say that, as crazy as it sounds, my favorite game for the Game Boy was Tetris. I played the crap out of that game.
I never had the patience for Tetris for some reason. It was a fun game to play for a little bit. And Dr. Mario was really fun, too.
Oh, I have Dr. Mario as well.
That was a great game that was pretty much the same style.
And while we're on the thing of the vintage Nintendo, this is my favorite Nintendo game. Castlevania.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Would you like to hear mine?
What is yours?
River City Ransom.
River City Ransom, baby.
Oh, yeah.
You know I rented that game so much. Remember video game rental stores when you would go in and rent the old VHS and then they had the one aisle for video games?
And you never could get the one that you, like, wanted.
I was on a waiting list a lot of times. I was like, I would, like, talk to the owner of the video game store to be like, hey, listen, when this comes in, you call me. And here I am, like, 8 years old telling this owner to call me.
Hey, when this comes in, give me a call, all right? I have one job here. Give me a call. I want to play this game, you know?
But, yeah, Castlevania, definitely.
That's a good one. Yeah. I had so much fun with River City Ransom because you could, like, upgrade your guy. Like, it was a very advanced side-scrolling
It was kind of like Call of Duty before Call of Duty was even fathomed.
You just go on the streets of River City and you just get into some brawls, man.
Just do it.
Thunder punching, dragon kicks. It was so amazing. I loved the heck out of that game. It was so much fun. But not only, no more than, you know, four, what is this?
89. We're at 89 right now. And yeah, so.
No more than 3 years later, they put out the Super NES.
Before you go there, though. We do want to do an honorable mention. All right. Sega released their system to compete with the NES. It's called the Sega Master System. So we don't want to forget it. Even though I don't own it, we don't want to forget a system. So the Sega Master System, I think there may be a picture of it somewhere. I don't know. But it was Sega's first attempt into the video game market.
Yeah, and not only that, the Atari 7800 also was released in 86 along with the Nintendo in order to try to stay competitive. And I think that's when Atari finally died out.
Yeah.
They actually had the Jaguar, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
There it is. There's a Sega Master System. Look at that thing.
I had one for a little bit.
Oh my God, dude. I always wanted one. My mom could never find one. I think I was too late.
I had a friend that had one. I bought it.
Look at that little joystick. Up the directional pad.
Yeah, it was actually very similar to the Nintendo.
It was very similar, yeah. 8-bit.
Yep.
All right, so we're getting up to the SNES now, right?
Later on down the line. Let's just make that clear.
So we're moving up to the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
And that was in 91. This was after the Game Boy.
And if I'm not mistaken, it was launched for $249, something like that?
And 95 cents.
95 cents.
So, yeah, that was also a good chunk of change in that time.
Now, mine has faded over the years. It's not as pretty and vibrant as that, but I do have an SNES.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. I love this system so much. I can't tell you how many times I think I burnt out Super Mario World.
Yeah.
This is where we got Yoshi, everybody.
This is where we met Yoshi. Yeah, absolutely.
We met our friend Yoshi.
Yeah.
NES.
Yeah.
Any favorite games you got from this system, Joe?
You know, there is one. There is, I mean, but I have a lot. And I was going through these today, and I'm like, oh, my God. Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
Four.
No, it was Zelda, A Link to the Past.
Yeah, yeah.
And you had Metroid. Super Metroid
was the best.
Oh God, Super Metroid. Just
it was awesome because we got this kick-ass female character.
Totally awesome. Ahead of its time.
Yeah, it was definitely ahead of its time. And
you'll be glad to know that Metroid, I'm going to be bringing out a video game here later as we get into it. Metroid is on my list for a console, and I'll show you here in a minute. But this is the game for me that kind of I played a lot. This is Mega Man X.
Oh my God.
The soundtrack, the levels, the bosses.
All the gear you could acquire to beef them up. And my friend Pat played that for hours to get all that gear.
Yeah. And that's what you wanted it to do.
Yeah.
And it didn't come with a save function either. You had to play it all through. Mm-hmm. There was passcodes though, because you could jump from level to level, but is really fun.
Yeah, that was something else, you know.
And an honorable mention too. I have it. I didn't bring it out of the case. Mortal Kombat Part 1.
Oh,
on this one as well.
good games, like so many franchises that have lasted throughout the years that started with the Super NES.
Mortal Kombat was 94, dude. Think about it. That's how long these games have been around.
And they're still just
rocking it. Mortal Kombat X is out now, but we'll get to that later.
So, we go 2 years later, right?
Uh-huh.
And Atari, in a final attempt, releases the Jaguar. And it's the first 64-bit console on the market.
Well,
it only ran with two 32-bit processors. Or something. I'm not sure on all that. But I think that thing was really expensive at that time, wasn't it? This thing was really expensive.
It was like $300-$400. I mean, but here's the thing. Atari marketed this console as a 64-bit, but when you actually took it apart, it was two 32-bit processors.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So
it technically wasn't 64-bit.
They just, you know.
Yeah. But, yeah, I remember the Jaguar. I wanted one, but I was just too wrapped up in the awesomeness of Sega and Nintendo, and I was just like, all right, whatever. I'm not going to waste money on this. I'm just going to keep buying the games I got here. So, yeah.
Yeah. And they were already affordable systems that were, you know,
mm-hmm.
having regular games being put out in abundance.
Yeah.
And they were good games.
They were great games.
So that was their last attempt, and it died out. I barely heard of it. It was not a system that gained any popularity whatsoever.
Good old Atari.
Yeah,
I salute you, Atari.
You did good. You started the snowball.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just need to let go.
Yeah.
And then a year later, this is what we get: the Sega Saturn in '94.
Well, before that, you got the Sega Genesis.
How did I miss the Genesis?
I don't know, man.
God,
can't skip over the Genesis, dude.
Ugh,
1989, dude.
I just want to get to my time. I'm just kidding.
Calm down, Jedi. Calm down.
This was a system that I never owned. This was one I had the SNES. My buddy had the Genesis. Road Rash was the game.
There were so many versions. There was like four different versions of the Sega Genesis. This is actually the first run production of the first variation of the Sega Genesis. So this is what it originally looked like when it came out of the box. Now they made like the Sega Mini, and they made it thinner, and they made various versions.
This was the one you wanted, though, because you could stack everything on this bad boy.
You see that? That is a headphone jack with a volume slider.
Amazing. Yeah.
Do you know what you could do with this? You could hook this thing up to a stereo system, and it was in stereo, and play your games and rumble the house. For the first time, you had this. It was just amazing. And
And by the time that thing, over the years, that console, that bass became, you know, a transformer.
Pretty much.
You know, like you could add this onto it. It did put the Sega CD.
CD on top of it. Then
by the time that thing was done, it didn't. It was so many.
It was like, why do you even need this base console for everything else? Why? I didn't even understand it.
The 32X.
Right. Now, for the Sega, it would definitely be Golden Axe for me.
Oh, man.
This is a game where you were either a barbarian or a female barbarian or a dwarf, and you just literally just tore stuff up, and it was awesome.
And the Sega Genesis was actually the same price as the Super NES.
Yeah, it sure was.
And it was released, 2 years, 3 years before it, in 89?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, 89.
Yeah, it was a classic system.
We're getting up there, man.
Yeah, we are.
We're out of 16-bit era now.
Yeah, we're moving along, because as I tried to jump the gun and failed, because Joe will never, ever let
me. No, I won't let you hit too hard, but.
We, 94, as I was saying, that's when things really took a turn.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when we first started getting our CD-based games.
Mm-hmm.
And that is our Sony PlayStation, who now plays a big role in the gaming world. and our Sega Saturn. And I think the Sega Saturn is kind of where we had to start saying goodbye, Sega.
So here's the PlayStation 1.
Mm-hmm.
Still got it. Still works.
And it looks beautiful.
I've taken really good care of it.
Looks great, man.
And, you know, I don't want to get into it, but this is a PS2.
Look at that guy. That's the thin, the slim.
It's the
version.
Slim one, yeah.
Yeah. I prefer. I like the other one. First, I really did.
I did too. I like the big blue massive block.
It ejected the disc. Like you didn't have to open the top. The hinge always broke on those slims. But with PlayStation, we got some really classic games out of this.
Oh yeah,
we got the Metal Gear Solid series.
Mm-hmm. And Resident Evil.
Oh yeah.
First. Come on the scene, which was mind-blowing because it was like we had Mortal Kombat,
mm-hmm.
but now you have a live world that you can walk around, and it's gory. It's an adult horror video game.
The way that they did the sound in that game where you could, if you had surround sound, you would hear noises behind you, the side of you, along the walls, and then you know what the worst part was? When you went to open a door, Joe, because you couldn't see on the other side of it because it started glowing.
No, you remember the black back? Look at that. The black disc.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that, dude.
So cool.
So, yeah, this is the director's cut, but this is Resident Evil 1.
Yeah, classic game. I used to play it over my friend Nick's house. I remember we were still in sixth grade.
Let's not forget Silent Hill as well.
That game.
Which even spawned two movies.
Yeah, and they were creepy.
Creepy.
The first one was very creepy. I haven't actually seen the other one yet.
That's right, Lindsay. Final Fantasy VII also made its debut on the PS1.
And that was a game that I actually never got into. The Final Fantasy series was never my bag.
It wasn't for me either. I mean, and this is no offense to any of our listeners out there, but I mean, it just... Those kind of games really never appealed to me. I was always kind of a first person.
I like to hack shooter. And slash.
I like to hack and slash. You know, I like to fight Street Fighter, those kind of games.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it was this is when we really started ramping up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is
the console wars is what they called it.
Yeah, this is when this is when S started going down.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, a couple years later, in 95, am I missing anything, Joe?
No, I think you're getting ready to go to the N64, though, right?
Oh, now this is a system, baby. GoldenEye. Can you say GoldenEye with the Nintendo 64? Now, that's a game
GoldenEye.
That I hold onto tight. And I will put up money for my cousin, Ryan, to play anybody in this game and destroy them. You hear that?
Destroy them.
He was the master of that game, my cousin.
This console was the first 64-bit 3D world. True 3D. So we got to play as Mario.
That was so cool.
Super Mario 64. One of the best games. Honestly, I spent so many hours playing Super Mario 64. I don't even know. There was like 3 years of my life I don't even recall because of Mario 64.
Same with Ocarina of Time. I mean, I played a lot of Mario.
Ocarina of Time.
The Ocarina of Time. I mean, you got to play his Ocarina. You had to hit all the notes. The horse.
The horse. Riding the horse around Hyrule, dude.
It was so awesome.
I'm like, this is insane.
Everything about that game, I think that's actually the game that opened me up to the hack and slash world.
Totally,
man. That game was amazing. All the little things you had to do and figure out, like you didn't get many clues.
No.
You had to figure, this was a game.
And if you didn't buy the strategy guide for like $20,
you were lost.
You were just like, what the heck, where do I go? Where is this? Mm-hmm. I mean, and I just want to, there's some really great ones over here on the side that I do want to give an honorable mention to, and that's Mario Kart. Introduced on here. It was on the SNES first, then there was an N64 version, then a Wii version. Then we had a Killer Instinct, which was a fighting game by Rare, who are the same people that made Donkey Kong Country on the SNES.
Killer Instinct.
Really amazing game. So Rare came on right at the end of SNES and just blew the water out of 3D graphics. It was just great.
Yeah, it was definitely a great system.
Yeah.
I hold on to that one pretty dearly. It was, the controller was also incredibly innovative as well.
It was.
And it was actually the first joystick, I think, that was introduced onto that style joystick, the way you can use the X and Y axis or whatever.
I remember playing Star Fox. That's with that game.
Amazing game.
Yeah, with the joystick controller and the vibration pack.
Oh,
dude.
It was great.
I know. Yeah. So after 64, what do we have?
Well, we got Smash Brothers, too.
Oh, yeah. I can't forget about Smash Brothers. First time that Super Nintendo characters and Nintendo characters are pitted against each other.
In a brawl.
So you can have Mario face off with Link.
Yeah.
Metroid or Kirby or whoever.
I loved swallowing the people and spitting like the Mac out. And they would, oh man, Kirby was an underrated character in that game. But so Atari did die out in the console business, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they really started hitting it heavy with the arcade games.
Oh yeah.
Ride and play games.
Mm-hmm.
That was 1996, and also one little cool thing that we got out of 1996. Who remembers the Tamagotchi?
The Tamagotchi.
Remember those guys? You had to feed him. He was a little ball, and then he grew up, and then he was eating all the time.
Wow.
You remember the little?
Oh my gosh, dude! I remember those.
Keychain egg.
Yeah, yeah. And you had to feed it, and it would go off like the little buzzer would go off every 3 or 4 hours.
It was insane. I had one. I think everybody in my class had one.
I had one. I was guilty of that.
Nobody learned anything because of the Tamagotchi.
Yeah. It's like, oh, how old is yours? How what did you do to yours? And yeah, it was so cool.
And a little bit of information. In 97, PlayStation was a powerhouse. And they sold their 20 millionth unit.
PS1.
Mm-hmm. PS1. We're talking PlayStation really set the bar in the video game console.
That's crazy, dude.
World. And Nintendo 64 was a great system. But I feel that this is when Nintendo started to go into a different direction.
Yeah. They introduced the GameCube.
Yeah. And the GameCube, it was
exactly what it sounds like. It's a cube, but at the same time, it also would play mini discs.
They were so tiny.
They were so tiny and so fragile.
I used to use them as ninja stars. I threw them around. I thought I was a ninja, you know, around my house.
I think with the handle, it was meant to be some sort of a portable, like you could take this over to your buddy's house, you know? But this was Nintendo's first genre into the disc game market.
And let's get straight. Nintendo was always a company that always had, as soon as the 64 came out, they gave you that four controller option because Nintendo was a video game company that wanted everybody to play together.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I feel that PlayStation, you know, with our Xboxes, they started to lose touch of that. You know, it was more and the TV, not you, your buddies in the same room and the television. Now with internet gaming, it's a bit different, but you still don't get that feel for being in the room with your friends and all, you know, talking crap while playing GoldenEye.
GoldenEye.
Oh, man, that was, I'm telling you, that was, that game right there is amazing for me.
But for the GameCube,
we did get some heavy hitters out of
this. This would be my game. It was the first time we saw Samus.
Mm-hmm.
In Metroid Prime, in a first-person shooter, multi-world game.
Dude, look at the armor she's wearing.
The storyline was so well-crafted. It was like right out of an anime. And look at the discs, how small they were. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's what I said. Ninja stars.
That's all they were, man.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge fan of Zelda, but I have to say for Nintendo, my franchise of choice, I always go back to Metroid just because the story and the power ups and the level ups and becoming the ball or shooting the missile, whatever. It was just, that was it for me. That was my game.
I don't really have any. There was one that I think I played on the GameCube. I never owned it. So yeah. I played the one Zelda game.
Where I had just a couple of, what was it, Majora's Mask? The Winds of something.
Speaking of the Winds of Winter, Game of Thrones. It's not called that.
Yeah. Wind Waker.
The Wind Waker. That was it. Yep. Yeah.
I actually have the Wind Waker, and you play as Kid Link in that game.
Yeah. So
pretty good graphics, too.
But, really cool graphics. Yeah. You were in this boat. You floated around. You
floated around, went from world to world in Hyrule.
It was cool. I mean, it was just, I don't know. It just, I never had that system, and that one I kind of glided right by that one. But I did play once.
And I think, you know, right around this time, too, we had the Sega Dreamcast come out.
Now, that was a cool system. And
it was a cool system. And, you know, this would actually mark one of Sega's very last attempts into the video game market.
Right before the year 2000. This was in 1998.
Yep. And this was the first console ever to introduce a web browser with internet hookup right there.
And a little tidbit of information for the Dreamcast. The Walmart retail chain, Walmart, everyone knows who Walmart is, decided to ban over 50 of their video games and deemed them inappropriate for minors. And there were some pretty brutal games that came out with. Joe, I've actually never owned the Dreamcast, and I don't know too many games from it. I think Soul Calibur was one of them.
Yeah, actually, I have Soul Calibur on my list. And you could basically, here it is. This is Soul Calibur, Sega Dreamcast. You could impale people on this game.
Yeah,
it was the system that had no rules.
Yeah, exactly.
There was kid-friendly games for the Sega Dreamcast.
Not many.
But you had like Mortal Kombat Gold. You had games that just really was more for adults. And I think that's one of the reasons, because when you think about the late 90s, that's when the government started looking at, between 94 and 98 is when the government started looking, especially with the debut of Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
That was when the government started issuing warnings on games.
It was a game changer, dare I say?
Oh, yeah. And look at this one. This one has teen.
Yep.
So this was this.
Getting our ratings.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's crazy. This is 1998 on this. So
I forgot about the Dreamcast, and it wasn't a popular system at all. I mean, it was there and it was gone.
It was there and gone, like in 1 year. And you know, at this time, that's when Sega just kind of silently bowed out. And then it was around this time too that we got the update, an updated version. We had the Game Boy, then the Game Boy Color.
And
we finally have the Advance that came out, which was the first backlit Game Boy. So when you turned it on, the screen and everything, actually like an iPad, it wasn't touch, but it actually did backlight for the first time. Huge game changer in the video game market.
It was beautiful. Yeah, for handhelds. I mean, I think like besides what do we have? We didn't even talk about the Sega handheld.
Oh, the Nomad?
Yeah, that big clunk.
That thing was a crazy dude.
Yeah, you could hurt somebody with that.
You could take your Genesis games on the go, which was, that was pretty awesome.
Right? But didn't they have another one where it had little games for it too, right?
Yeah, a little cartridge.
Yeah, I couldn't, I never really seen too many of those.
It had two slots on it, if I'm not mistaken. One for old Genesis games and then one for your actual Sega Nomad. You can actually buy little cartridges for it.
Yeah, that thing was a big giant hunk of plastic. Really wasn't all that great.
And I think around that time, well, what were we up to now in terms of time?
The year 2000 here, buddy.
Yeah, we're getting up there.
We're hitting Y2K.
Y2K.
Y2K. Everybody go get bread and milk.
That's we're getting close now. The PS2 came out around that time too. It was like 2000.
It was the year 2000. Sony's PlayStation 2. I have to say, hands down, right now, best console I've ever had.
It was awesome, and that's actually the one I did have, the big one like that. And the tray broke on it, and it failed. And that's when I got the PS2 Slim that you saw earlier.
Yep, I had that system. And I'll tell you right now, that's what I think really launched me to be like a little more serious in games. Mm-hmm. I started playing one of my favorite games from that system. Well, I have two favorite games that are from that system. One, though, was Onimusha.
Mm-hmm.
It was made by Capcom, who made Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty much Resident Evil's was Capcom, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it was pretty much the Resident Evil like framework, but you were this, you know, Japanese samurai who, you know, just all hell broke loose. It was a great game. And there were so many puzzles involved. Yep. Capcom. That game franchise, they went all the way up to 3, where Jean Reno, the actor from The Professional,
mm-hmm.
he made an appearance in the last Onimusha game that came out. Well, the third one. I think there was one that was released after, but it wasn't all that great.
I can't believe we've talked almost an hour on just consoles.
Almost? Yeah. We have
this
to
is get, crazy. So the PS2 basically carried us through the majority of the 2000s.
Yeah.
It was one of those consoles. It was just a powerhouse. And the PS3 didn't come along until a lot later.
What about our Xbox, Joe?
Xbox One was first introduced. Xbox 360.
Well, the first Xbox. I mean, we have Xbox One, but then we have Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Just the Xbox.
Just the old school Xbox. I remember playing the first, what was that game? Oh, gosh, Halo. I remember playing Halo number 1 with my cousin on his first Xbox. And Xbox was Microsoft's introduction into the gaming market.
When Xbox was released, this was the first, this is when people started separating.
Yeah, there was a division.
Yeah.
And that's when Nintendo started actually losing it in the limelight, and you had your two heavy hitters for the first time prominent, Xbox and PlayStation.
Yep, and you know they released their Game Boy Advance.
And when did Xbox originally come out?
I think it was 2001.
Yeah,
a year after the PlayStation.
Wow.
2. Yep.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then you fast forward to 2006, and that's when we get the invention of this thing that kind of looks almost like an.
Now
like
this is when Nintendo really started changing their.
Oh,
way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is when they started going to just family entertainment, family mm-hmm. fun entertainment, and it was great. I really did have a lot of good times playing the Wii.
The Wii was great. Oh my God, I got a memory chip in here.
And I mean, even before that, we had the PSP that came out. 2005 is when the Xbox 360 came out.
Mm-hmm. I really do like the Wii.
I went to the dark side.
The Wii was Nintendo's introduction into, this was an online system, which everybody loved, and you could download old school 16-bit Nintendo and 8-bit Nintendo games, and then they started introducing the Sega market on the Nintendo system, and then old school Atari games started coming on here, so the Wii was amazing, and it was really a game changer, especially with the Wii remote, the sensor bar. And just everything that they introduced into this, it was a game changer. It really was. And I think that Nintendo truly had a hit with the Wii.
They did. They did because they.
But that's where it stops.
Yeah, because
the Wii U. Come on.
It did really stop there. And you know, we had the Xbox 360 that came out and the PlayStation 3. And then there we go. That's when the war really grew.
Oh yeah, when the 360 hit the market. That was crazy. And then around this time, too, we got an upgrade on Nintendo's handheld market. And we finally got out of the Nintendo Game Boy Advance into the DS, which was a dual screen, dual action, touch sensor. This has actually got a game in it. Mario Kart DS.
Yeah, this was a really cool handheld. Because I
it
mean,
was.
PSP failed. They tried to use the UMD discs. This is our first. We got a stylus out of this bad boy.
Yeah,
this thing was awesome. I don't know one gamer that didn't have this.
Yeah, DS was a game changer.
In their car, in their purse, anywhere that if you were a gamer, you had this DS. I mean, it was just a very. It was slim, easy to carry, and really, just really sleek and awesome. And then, yeah, like I was saying, we have the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 that came out.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is when internet gaming really took off.
Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Well, PS2 came with a modem.
COD 4.
You could buy it. COD 4. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
There it is.
This is where the war really grew, because you have. Now you have online gaming and Xbox 360. I feel like nobody can argue this, and I don't care if you do, but Xbox 360 had it down pat when it came to online gaming.
Oh, yeah.
PlayStation, they just never seemed to get it with the PlayStation 3. They got hacked a bunch of times, but you know what? The PlayStation 3 surpassed Xbox 360 in graphics.
It did, and I think... You know, when you start on a console, for me, I started on, obviously, the PlayStation 1, which you saw. And I've always been just a PlayStation fan. And yeah. I've owned a couple of Xboxes in my life. I had an Xbox and then a 360. And but I just naturally gravitate towards the PlayStation game genre. And for me, that's just a personal choice.
You want to know what made me a turncoat with the Xbox 360 from the PlayStation 2?
What was that?
The controller.
Yeah.
When I hold that Xbox 360 controller and even the new Xbox One controller, it just felt like it was meant to fit in my
It felt natural. Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying.
With these consoles though, they both had their pros and their cons. They were both really good consoles. One had better graphics than the other one, had a better online mainframe or network than the other. But
the PS3 came out when was it? 2008.
The PS3 came out
2007.
Was 2000? Actually, 2006.
Six. Yeah. So that was the console war with Nintendo,
and then
the Xbox 360.
Yep.
So it was a 360, the Nintendo Wii, or the PS3. Which one are you going to get? Which one are you going to own?
Right.
I remember that Christmas as being one of the most craziest holiday seasons on record, because everybody was scrambling to go to Target and Walmart and Best Buy and get the console, and it was crazy.
And it's a shame, because the Xbox 360, with it being so, you know, with it being a pretty good system, though, not one owner didn't see that red ring of death.
And the red ring of death happened so...
You know why?
Randomly. Right? Yeah, it overheated.
Well, there was two motherboards, from what I was told. There was two motherboards, and what happened was every time it would heat, when it would heat up, the motherboard separated and would break apart, and that's when you get that red ring of death. That's what I was told.
Yeah.
Quote me on that.
There was definitely a design flaw in the 360.
But
they later fixed it, though.
That game. Have you played Skyrim before, Joe, on the 360?
I played it on PC.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
Skyrim on PC.
I could go on forever with all the games that came out for this, but let's move on.
Oh, yeah. So we've actually officially, we have went from the Magnavox Odyssey from 1970 all the way up to the 8th generation console. Did you hear that? 8th generation. To now, what is now the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, and the Nintendo Wii U.
Yeah. And if we could, I would like to bring in an expert who does nothing but online gaming, just to ask her what she has been up to and what she thinks are the best games that are being put out right now. So,
go ahead and do that.
Please call in. You know who you are.
Yes, come on in, Miss Panda.
Our friend Panda, who is at Panda Versus the World, one of the top online gamers in my eyes, and that's why I wanted to have her come on the show.
And I just want to say, too, while we're waiting for Panda to call in, Daniel, you have done an amazing job on this week's show.
I think
just about research that you've done, it's been phenomenal. And there is one genre of games that we have missed. And that genre of games is actually the mobile market, the iPad and the tablets.
That is a game that we definitely, I think, feel like we were more
Clash of Clans. We got, you know, we got all those games. We got Angry Birds, all these games that have pretty much, it's a new generation.
Yeah.
Yep. Gaming on the go. What's up, Panda?
Hi, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Just okay, fine. Good.
Have you enjoyed tonight's show?
I have, absolutely. I'm so excited. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no worries.
Yeah, did Dan, you see me in the comments earlier? I said nerdgasm.
Yes. Well, tonight has just been one of those shows. It's just, it takes me back to a very happy spot in my life.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about my old gaming consoles. So
I was so glad that you had all the consoles you did. Because I don't know if you guys have seen my Desks of Lab photo. I told you earlier, Dan.
I've seen your 64, N64, your SNES, your NES. Yes.
Guys have it. Fantastic. Look,
we've got you, girl.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
So, is that PlayStation controller I see on the right there?
Oh, yeah. That's the PlayStation 4 controller. That's my console of choice at the moment.
Well, we need to talk after the show so you can add me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Battlefront.
You better watch out.
Go ahead, Daniel.
So, Panda, what have you been up to online gaming ways? Like, what have you been doing with the online gaming? What games are you just obsessed about? What games could you do without?
Right now, I am big on, we just picked up Tom Clancy's Division. So I have been on that like every chance I get as soon as I get home. So that one is really like, it's really fun because, so we have two PlayStations in the house. So boyfriend sits on one, Panda sits on the other, and we can actually online game together. And it's really nice because we can go on there and run around together. We can do missions together and not quite couch co-op, but thankfully in our case, it works out. So it's really nice because honestly, you said I was like a pro in the beginning, and I am not ashamed to admit I'm really shitty at video games. Okay. So I love video games, but sometimes I'm really, really bad at them and it takes me a million tries and it's a little bit comical, but I love it. I love getting on to these things and going on to these other worlds. And I gotta ask,
since you guys co-op together, do you play any Call of Duty?
You know what? I don't. The first person shooters are a little bit difficult for me.
I got you.
So I've never really gotten fully into them.
What is your flavor of game?
So, okay, I'm okay with a third person shooter. So The Division works out great for me. I play a lot of GTA 5 on the PlayStation 4. That one's always something. When if I'm bored and I just want to hop on and go around, running around and doing something, that would be my choice.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about what RPGs you've been playing, if you've been playing any. Like, have you played Fallout 4 yet?
I do have Fallout 4. I started it. I'm really bad about, I have like video game ADD. So I'll start something and then something else grabs my attention. Ooh, shiny thing, gotta go. So I kind of jump around a little bit. So I do have that one. I really like the fact that that one has so much to do. So I know it's really going to take me a long time to finish that one.
Yeah, it's that game right there is amazing. It's like Minecraft and Skyrim rolled into an awesome ball, and you're in a post-apocalyptic nuclear trashed world, and it's so much fun to play. You're the type of person that like really likes to get deep into a role-playing game.
Now, I got to ask you, Panda, out of all the consoles that you own, your vintage ones, your old-school Nintendos, which one do you find yourself catering to the most?
Probably Super Nintendo.
Super. Why?
Yes. Just the fun games. I love... I've always loved that about Nintendo, first off, is that, you know, they, like you guys said, they're very family oriented. It's a family entertainment system.
They're classic.
Yeah. And they were always just so fun. So one of my favorites was Zombies Ate My Neighbors. You guys ever play that?
I remember that one. Okay. Yes.
That was one of my favorites. And it was just such a silly game, but it was so fun to just go and run around and collecting these silly people, saving your neighbors. And I still play it. We still have nights where we're like, let's go old school. Let's go play on the old systems. That's amazing. You have so many fun things. I love it.
I'm 36, going on 37, so I've been around a while. I mean, I wasn't there to get the Magnavox Odyssey, but...
So, Panda, I actually, we're going to just move on a little bit here.
Sure.
So, as a great man from a movie once said, what is real? How do you define real? If you're talking about what you can hear, taste, and touch, then real is simply electrical pulses sent to your brain, said by the great Morpheus from The Matrix. And what I'm trying to lead into here...
My God, you just gave me like an epiphany.
That virtual reality, I think, is going to be taking over
VR.
Pretty soon.
I couldn't agree more.
Oculus
Rift. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah, because Oculus just announced that they're going to be releasing their console pretty soon. And it's pretty expensive. I think it's like $500, somewhere around like $499.99 or something crazy. But from what I've been told, it's going to be worth it. Have you read into any of this, Panda?
So I was looking at that earlier, actually, and the list of games that are as of now set. And there's a lot of stuff, of course, that I hadn't heard of that I need to research. But there's some interesting stuff. There was a silly one, Job Simulator. I don't know if you guys watch Rick and Morty, but there's...
Love it.
There's the episode where they play a virtual reality game called Roy, The Life of Roy.
Oh my goodness, that was so awesome. That was a great episode.
That's all I could think of was, please give me a game like Roy.
Right? And did you see the horror the simulation that they were doing? It was like a horror game.
I haven't seen that one.
I'm telling you right now, I just want to... throw a book out there that I read. It was written by Ernest Cline, and it's called Ready Player One. Now, this is actually going to be made into a movie by the great Steven Spielberg. Now, this book is amazingly scary.
I've heard about this one. I've heard about this.
If the world keeps going the way it's going, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but this is a world... way a bit in the future where everybody's poor. Inflation has skyrocketed and everyone's poor. This man who created this VR world called the Oasis died. And the whole point of this book is for these, I forget what they're called, Gunthers or something like that. They are looking for this Easter egg that he left behind in this giant VR world called the Oasis. And I'm talking everybody is in the Oasis. They're all plugged in with this haptic.
That's crazy.
They make their money.
It's almost like Total Recall, but on like steroids.
Yeah, this is an amazing book. I suggest if you are into video games or VR or whatever, this is a really, really good read. And if you want to listen to the audiobook because you don't like reading, our own Wesley Crusher.
Wesley Crusher.
Yeah. Reads it to you.
Oh, and man.
It's actually, it's really nice. It's a really... Well,
you know what, Daniel, before we like have to wrap things up and go, I want to do one final honorable mention.
Mm-hmm.
There was a console we forgot.
Uh-oh.
And I purposely left it out of the list because... it involves virtual reality. 1995, Nintendo releases the Virtual Boy.
Oh my gosh, how could I forget about that?
How can you forget about Virtual Boy?
Well, I never had the pleasure.
That plate forgot about it because they fell on the ground drooling.
It was a red laser grid you kind of got up into these goggles and you played these games that were in VR, and it made me sick as a dog. Well, I couldn't play the damn thing. I was just sitting there playing it, and I was just, every time I played it, no more than like 20 minutes, I would get so nauseated. But you fast forward, VR has been around for a while. It was introduced, like, you think about Lawnmower Man, the movie. All right, you think about that. That's 94, okay?
Bill Pierce.
92, 94, something like that. And so VR has been around a while, but it's not been perfected up until the point that it has been perfected today with seamless movement. We're talking 120 frame range of movement in just a half second.
Did you see the Star Wars?
I did.
Ride through Jakku.
I did. And you can actually pick up the lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing, dude.
Star Wars is actually working on a lot of VR tech, and I'm telling you right now, this is the direction it's all going in.
Yeah.
Where even the internet might even become just a virtual reality experience.
Maybe we... Is this virtual reality?
Am I real?
Is this real life?
Oh, man. So we got anything else for Panda? We're going to wrap up here.
Panda, before you go, you want to drop any information about yourself, Twitter, your YouTube stuff for Panda versus the World?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I am actually trying to start a gaming channel so everybody can see my hilarious antics of me failing at hilarious. All the games that I enjoy failing at. It's a hoot and a half. So if you guys want to check that out, everything is brand spanking new, so there's not a whole lot out there now, but it's pandaversustheworld.com. Versus is VS, so I'll put it here in the chat comments so you guys can see it out there too. We've got the site propped up there now. It's got links to everything that we'll be using for streaming, for commenting, for photos. I'm a social media addict. So
are you on Twitch?
Not so much on Twitch now. I think I'm really kind of gonna just move it over to YouTube.
YouTube
and
Live.
Do it there. Yeah, I use the YouTube Live app from my PlayStation, and then it'll upload everything there for us.
That's great. Cool. And so check her out. It's Panda versus the World, VS, .com, and check her out. You guys, she's also on Twitter at Panda Tweeters. Check her out. And thanks for being on the show and just letting us dive into your world of retro gaming and the future and all that great stuff.
Yeah, thanks.
Super excited.
All right, thanks. We'll see you on the down low.
See you later.
Bye.
Oh, man. What a great host, man. She's so awesome because I was looking at her desk on Desk of Lab and I saw the old vintage retro gaming systems and I knew right off the bat that she knew what she was talking about.
She's such a sweet girl. I mean, really, she's really sweet. And it was great to have her on here and have her talk about, you know, the things she's up to. And I really wanted her to drop her info because I know she wanted to start this YouTube channel. And
that's awesome, too.
So we just got a good insight on some other gamers out there. And also, before we drop our information in this show, I also want to drop a plug for one of our promoters, at Red5Mom. She has a website where all of her blog information, she also has... I think it's like The Depths. I'm not sure exactly what it's called, but it's her playing Battlefront. She's addicted to Battlefront. And
well, who's not? I mean, you can be Han Solo or Darth Vader in the same game. I mean, come on, dude.
And there's a link there to get to her, The Epic Deaths of Red5Mom.
The Epic Deaths of Red5Mom, ladies and gentlemen.
She gets caught, just like I do, looking at all the awesome scenery. And by the way, Battlefront DLC is releasing in April 5th, along with the Blu-ray release of the movie.
Oh, man. And, you know, just to help her out a little bit, if you go over to red5mom.com, you can check out our official website. I know she probably didn't mention that in the chat, but I'm going to mention that for her anyway, red5mom.com. Yep. Awesome supporter of the show. And she's also one of your co-hosts, 1/3 of your co-hosts on the Galactic Roundtable, correct?
Yep.
All right. That's awesome. Well, guys, we're going to wrap things up. We went over a little bit, about 10 minutes this week, but so much great stuff we covered. And
yeah, we could do a special edition on this on video games.
We could actually do a second edition.
Yeah, we really could.
There's so much involved.
So, Joseph.
Yes, sir. Contest, right?
Yeah. We need to tell all these people where they can go.
All right, listen, guys. We're having a contest, and the contest is so easy. I can't even begin to explain. You go to iTunes. Most of us have an iTunes account, and you go to iTunes. You leave us click 5 stars, and then write us a. You don't even have to be long. A 1-sentence review. Say what you want.
Something. And
when it's approved, I will see it, and I will write your name down on the show on March the 30th, which happens to be our Batman versus Superman show. Spoiler alert. It's going to be awesome. Made a graphic for it today. Check that out. But that's going to be on March 30th. We're going to announce the actual winner, and the winner is going to get an original artwork by yours truly and a $10 promo card for a code for Steam?
It's a code for a Steam game, $10 value, just like you said. And it's part of your prize.
So all you got to do, guys, go to iTunes, leave us a review. If you want to enter the contest, it's pretty cool. You're getting an artwork, a handcrafted artwork, which is my Cesar Romero Joker. And Daniel's going to be throwing in a free game. You can't beat it. It's a win-win. Mm-hmm. And all you got to do is just take 2 minutes and go to iTunes and leave us a review. Do that for us, okay? And also, Dan, how can people find us on the interwebs?
Well, they can find us at popx.com, where you will...
PopXcast.
Oh, PopXcast. I'm so used to saying PopX all the time because it's just so snappy.
It's okay.
But yes, PopXcast.com is where you can find us. And you can find all of our links there, I believe. Our Instagram, PopXcast. Our Twitter, @PopXcast, Gmail, PopXcast@gmail.
So .com. Yeah.
Email us if you have any questions.
We're extremely easy to find.
Very.
I mean, across all social media platforms, from Facebook to Pinterest, all we are is @PopXcast.
Exactly. So, and my individual information is @StayOnTarget42. StayOnTarget42 is everything that I do, everything that I am. I am trying to create a website right now for all of my links and everything that I'm doing. I'm also on a podcast called TGR Star Wars Hour, and you can find that on iTunes as well. And my friend Joseph here, you can find him at...
Yes, you can find me at Rotcav on Twitter. That's ROTCAV, or at I Strive to Thrive. And official website's josephburke.com. That's josephburke.com. And, of course, our beautiful, amazing website at popxcast.com. I want to remind everybody, we do have a brand new store that's been opened up on PopXcast, so go check it out. All proceeds go to help fund Daniel and I's little podcast we do here every Wednesday night. So if you enjoy what you hear, go pick up a shirt, go pick up a mouse pad or a coffee mug. I've been drinking out of the coffee mug all night. It is actually pretty amazing, and it is dishwasher safe. So
it is
beautiful. But Dan, awesome show, dude.
Thank you. And thank
hats
you
off, man,
for joining us tonight. There's nothing more than I love talking about video games. And we hope to see you next week, where we're going to have on
Mr. Russ Braun is coming on next week. Look at that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Russ Braun is a Marvel Comics, DC Comics, and Walt Disney Animation Studios artist. He's worked on the Milan, Hercules, the Batman series. And he has just been all over the place, and he's worked on Marvel on several projects. He will be here live via the telephone, so be sure to check us out next week, as his interview will be here live in real time for you guys. And hope you enjoyed last week's podcast as well, as we dived into the world of Arrow and the Flash. Be sure to check that out, and as we get ready on March 22nd to have the debut of the Flash. But I think that's it, man.
I think that's it. So
I think that's it.
Say thank you to everybody who joined us, everybody who listens, everybody who goes to iTunes and drops us great comments and 5-star ratings. Thank you so much. And we will catch you next week on PopXcast.
From everyone at PopXcast, thanks for listening. be sure to give us a 5-star rating over on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Blab, and YouTube at PopXcast. Get your geek on.